The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Round one is over. Round two is underway. We've got exciting hockey to talk about. What an amazing round one, Drew.
It was incredible. We had two game sevens, which were nothing short than amazing. The Eastern Conference pretty much took care of how we thought they'd be taking care of each other. Western Conference was a little bit more fun. But man, oh man, the two game sevens we saw in the Dallas series and the Winnipeg series, incredible.
It really was amazing. And I want to start first with the Winnipeg Jets and the St. Louis Blues. The happiest person I am for is Connor Hellebuyck. He finally got through somehow.
Yeah. It didn't look very good for him, did it?
Well, I mean, no Morrissey from the first period on. What, Dylan DeMetal played like 36 minutes?
Yep. And the St. Louis Blues, like, if you're Jim Montgomery, what can you say? You did everything you possibly could, and you're up 3-1 with 2 minutes left to go in the game. You've played terrific game seven in their building against the top team in the league. And with 1.6 seconds left on the clock, the game gets tied up. And then you lose in double overtime. I don't know. I wouldn't know what to say to my team. They played a great series, and they're still thinking today. You know they are. They're still thinking today. How did we lose that game? How did that happen? I'm happy for Adam Lowry, Danny. Adam Lowry said, remember, because Adam Lowry, remember him when Dave, his dad, played for the Sharks, and Adam was just a little guy. He's not a little guy anymore, and he scores the big goal. The captain, the fourth line captain of the Winnipeg Jets. Awesome stuff.
But it all started with the St. Louis Blues taking the early lead and, in fact, taking a 2-0 lead. It started with Jordan Kyrou in the early going.
Jets win the draw. They cleared out. Winnipeg won 58% of the faceoffs in game six. Their best faceoff game of this series. Thomas brings it in. Works it along the wing to Buchnevich to Kyrou. Near side, Parayko to Kyrou. They score! Jordan Kyrou. 1 minute, 10 seconds in. And the Blues draw first blood here in Game 7. 18:50 to go. 1-0 Blues.
Now imagine this, Drew. You're at home. You've got the fans that are already nervous because of all the times that things have messed up for Winnipeg. And then 1:10 into the first period, you're already down 1-0. What must they have been thinking?
Uh-oh. That's all you think. Even when you're coaching, even when we were broadcasting, you thought that. I think game seven versus Los Angeles in 2014-15. You think, uh-oh. And that was a beautiful goal, by the way. That goal, there was nothing on Hellebuyck you could have said. There's nothing he could have done. It was a gorgeous goal by St. Louis. But all of a sudden, 1:10 into the game, the worry is right there.
Well, it got worse at 7:16. Matthew Joseph made it 2-0.
Look out, taking a big hit. Matthew Joseph hit by Morrissey, who still looks hurt as he throws that hit. Now he's got to defend Joseph. Joseph brings it in, fires, score! Matthew Joseph from the far circle, 12:44 to go, brought it in on Morrissey, snaps it past Hellebuyck. And Joseph, with his first career playoff goal, gives the Blues a 2-0 lead.
Chris Kerber pretty excited at that point for his team, up 2-0. But then Cole Perfetti started a memorable night to make it 2-1.
They win the draw. Neil Pionk up top to the near side, has for Connor. Connor down low, deflected. They score! Cole Perfetti with a deflection. 7 seconds into the power play. And Winnipeg is on the board. It's 2-1 for St. Louis. Another goal for Cole Perfetti, and this place is now on its feet.
Cole Perfetti is turning out to be a pretty darn good first-round draft pick, isn't he?
That's the depth that Winnipeg has. And Cole Perfetti, well, we'll talk about it as we continue on here. As you said, a memorable night, but Cole Perfetti is a player.
But so at that point, the Winnipeg Jets fans and really the team has some hope. They're down 2-1. But in the second period, Radek Foxa, of all people, ends up getting it to a 3-1 score.
45 seconds to go in the second period. Chen, left wing. Over the line as Ehlers drop the puck. Walker gets it back. Snaps it to Foxa. Foxa shoots. Score! 3-1. Radek Foxa, the WTF line, does it again. 34 seconds to go in the second period. And Radek Foxa, with his first of the series, gives the Blues a 3-1 lead. Over the shoulder and in.
Gotta love the creativity. Foxa, Toropchenko, Walker, the WTF line.
That's fantastic. I didn't know that was a line. That's really good.
Well, bottom line is that at that point, it looked like Winnipeg's days were over and they were in real trouble. But they would come back, and they would come back very strongly. A man who was a shark for about 5 seconds, Vladislav Namestnikov, would get things started for the Jets.
The corner shoot. That went wide. Rebound on the side of the net. Chopped in net. It's Iafallo and a stick tied up. Sent back to the line. It's held by the Jets. Far side, Pionk. Now again for Namestnikov. Moves in. Shoots. Score! Off a skate and in with 1:55 remaining in this third period. The Jets are within one. Namestnikov with another big goal in this series. It's 3-2 St. Louis.
That's at 18:04 of the third period. It looked like they were dead to rights, but Namestnikov came up with that goal. And again, as you heard on a deflection, Winnipeg finally got a break.
Yeah, they did get a break there. And it's funny to me, if I'm 6-on-5 and I'm the defensive team, if I'm the team that's trying to hold the lead, I think 6-on-5 is easier to defend than 5-on-4. So on 5-on-4, you look at the way the St. Louis defends. Why not do the same type of thing? But everybody gets in that defensive shell. Everybody starts to, and you just allow too much room on the outside and too much puck possession. I would be pressuring all the time.
Well, here we were at 18:04 of the third period. It was a one-goal game. Full goalie, Hellebuck's on the bench, probably biting his fingernails, hoping that somehow they can score. And the clock was down to just a few seconds left in the game. And I was saying, Drew, that they ran out of time. That was my thought. They can't do this.
It's over.
It's impossible. It's over. And then it wasn't.
25 seconds to go. Ehlers will shoot it in. Rims around back in behind the net. After it goes small. Up along the boards. Knocked down by Connor. Back in behind the net. Slapped around the boards. Ehlers turns and fires from the point. That went off a skate. 13 seconds to go. Winnipeg trying to get it out of a pile. Velarde back in behind the net. Velarde back to the line. Ehlers moves in, shoots, and he fanned on that. Got it back again. Far side, quick shot. Deflected in front. They score! Cole Perfetti with a deflection. 1.6 seconds left in the third period. The Jets have tied it up at 3. Holy smokes! His second of the game. 1.6 seconds left, and Winnipeg has tied it at 3. Unbelievable.
It sure was unbelievable, but the unbelievable play would continue right after that as it went into overtime, and Adam Lowry would be the big hero. But before that, there was some interesting moments in overtime when St. Louis was pushing as hard as they could, trying to go for it. Here are a couple of examples of that with Connor Hellebuyck coming up huge.
Punctured back inside the Winnipeg end. Came into where the slot. Backhand! And it's gloved down by Hellebuyck off the stick of Matthew Joseph. 12:44 remaining in double overtime. We're tied at 3. It's blocked in front by Pionk. Moved ahead to the near side for Nikolai Ehlers. He'll get it out towards center ice in desperation. Back the other way. Here comes Kyra moving in. Shooting! Stopped by Hellebuyck! And he'll dustpan the rebound back in and hang on for a whistle. And now dancing through that neutral ice, Buchnevich on the far side for Thomas. Back into with a slot, Parikos shooting! And it's stopped by Hellebuyck. He came out to the top of the ice and made a dynamite save.
Well, that's 3 saves by Hellebuyck during the overtime periods, and here's another one to make it 4.
Broberg on the far side, now for Falk. Sways his way into where the corner. Falk back in behind the net, muscled off the puck. Winnipeg will pick that up, and Velarde, he gave it away out in front, and a shot by Walker, stopped by Hellebuyck. Oh, the game was on Walker's stick on a miscue by Winnipeg, and Hellebuyck came through with a huge save. And then the puck is dumped the distance.
What do coaches think when saves like that happen?
That he's back, or he's on his game, or you're comfortable that, okay, he's doing what we need him to do now. You would actually probably say that on the bench. Listen, he's there for us, guys. We got to start taking care of the puck. Let's start pushing the other way. Let's go. And you just talk it up a little bit on the bench. But you want your team to understand that your goalie is doing what he's supposed to do. So hopefully they would get some confidence out of that. But also you'd remind them, because coaches are coaches, take care of the puck.
Well, they took care of the puck, and then Adam Lowry would take care of the tip. The second overtime period at 16:10, so they were almost done with the second overtime. Yep. Here we go with Adam Lowry and the game and series winner.
For Kyle Connor, darts around. Connor back toward the line, Pionk. Pionk walks the line, wrists it through traffic. He scores! Deflected in front by the captain, Adam Lowry. Jets win! Jets win! Jets win! Overtime tonight. What a comeback. And they'll move along in the series and win it 4-3. Bring on the Dallas Stars. The whiteout has been held over to the second round for the first time since 2018. Lowry's third of the playoffs. And the Winnipeg Jets have done the unthinkable, coming back to beat the St. Louis Blues. They were down 3-1 until late in the third period. What a game. What a series. What a night. 4-3 the final in double overtime for the Jets. Baby!
Well, you might as well get excited, because the entire region, the whole province of Manitoba, was probably watching by the time that goal was scored, I'd imagine.
The only thing I'd say on that call is be careful what you wish for.
Uh-huh.
When you say bring on the Dallas Stars. But yeah, it was a terrific night for the Winnipeg Jets. And you could almost see the relief pour out of your TV screen when they scored that goal and the fans went as crazy as they did. But it was one incredible Game 7, one of the more unique ones we've seen in the last number of years.
We continue now with the Sharks Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Well, as we know, that wasn't the only Game 7 to talk about in the playoffs. The other one was also in the Western Conference. I should say another one was. And that was the Dallas Stars and the Colorado Avalanche. And who would have believed it? Colorado also up 2-0 in the third period, 7:49 to go. And a guy who had a 4-point period in Game 6 comes up once again and gets things started. Can you believe the way that this began?
Harley gets back to it along with Nichushkin. Puck hops out and it's Oscar Beck. Some nervous energy earlier in this building. As the Stars now Rantanen in shot, score! Mikko Rantanen gets Dallas on the board and right back into Game 7.
Okay, that was the first goal that he scored to make it 2-1. And then all of a sudden, it became 2-2 because Rantanen was at it again.
Thomas Harley, as the crowd rises in volume. They've already risen out of their seats. Flip to the corner. Rantanen, who's got the proximity goal. Turned over on the sidewall by Johnston. Poked ahead. O'Connor again racing after it. Duchesne gets back and wipes him out with a shove. Stars go the other way. Roope Hintz down the right wing side. Hintz curls. Drops it back behind the net. The puck there. Squirts to the corner. And Harley back at center ice with 6:23 and counting left in the third period. 22 seconds left on the Makar Minor. Rantanen in with speed. Wraps. He scores! Mikko Rantanen! Game 7! is tied!
What a moment that was on that wraparound, Drew.
Unfortunately for Samuel Girard, Rantanen didn't even get around the net. He was coming, and then he starts to lose his balance, and he's not going to get around in time because Samuel Girard is there to cut it off, and the puck goes off of Girard skating in the net. The reaction for the Dallas Stars and for the fans was incredible, but for Girard, he was just, you could see him, he looks up to the sky and he just cannot believe, because you could see it. Like right then, the momentum is now all with the Dallas Stars.
Well, it sure was. And what a moment, and what a tough moment for Samuel Girard to take. It went off the outside of his skate and bounced in past his goaltender. And so all of a sudden, the game was tied up. Now, Wyatt Johnston is a player that you and I both have really admired since he came into the NHL. He was drafted in the 20s in that draft by Dallas in the top 31. He was a first-round pick. William Eklund went 7th overall. That's how highly the Sharks thought of him. But this is a guy that I don't think anybody expected was going to do what he would do in this particular game or in this particular career. But he's just stepped right in, moved in with Joe Pavelski as a rookie, took advantage of everything that he learned from Pabs. And now here in Game 7, he comes up with what would turn out to be a huge one.
Stars control it. Thomas Harley to the right side, Rantanen, and now back for Harley. Dallas 0-for-3 on the power play in the game. They've scored in all but one this series. Rantanen goes low. Duchesne across. Score! Wyatt Johnston! Mr. Game 7 does it again!
Well, I think that there's somebody else that's Mr. Game 7, but that's okay. He's Mr. Game 7 for Dallas. Justin Williams probably has that title still. But Drew, what this kid is just going to have an amazing career.
Yeah. Especially the timing of that goal, because not only when it was, but the fact that they needed the power play to go. They had some trouble scoring on the power play. That power play was textbook, though. That was such a beautiful goal. Johnston, he could have fired it right away, Danny, but he waited for a second and then put it in the exact spot he needed to beat McKenzie. It was a beautiful goal.
You know something? I've heard some talk about this particular goal because Jeff Reese is the goaltending coach for the Dallas Stars, and apparently he noticed something that when the puck was on McKenzie Blackwood's glove side, that he said that Blackwood was keeping his stick to his five hole. Therefore, the seam pass was going to be possible. And that's how they scored that goal, a perfect pass across. There was space there. He didn't reach out to try to block it. The defense didn't adjust to it. And then Johnston banged it into the net. It just goes to show you the importance of scouting during a game, if that the story is actually true.
Yeah, got to do your work without a doubt. It's a big key when it comes to the playoffs. It's the time of year where you have to, everybody, that's the goalie coach making those notices and finding those things out. It's everybody's on board trying to find any edge you can give.
Okay, so Dallas now has the lead 3-2, and they're just hanging on. They're shutting things down. Typical Pete DeBoer team. He's rolling the four lines. He's getting everything done properly, making sure that they're there to support Ottinger, who made a couple of big saves. But who could have believed that the game would end like this?
They are attaching Bibles to these offerings from the perimeter. They can't get anything near the front of the net. Ottinger's had a bead on everything. His rebound control has been impeccable. Here it is, Game 7.
Sagan and Nelson. And the Avs control the draw, but it's poked by Rantanen and didn't get it out of the zone. Lindell a swipe, and the Stars, Sagan clears Rantanen for the hat trick, of course! The hats rain down, and the Stars will move on! You could not write this any better!
You certainly couldn't write it any better for Mikko Rantanen, who expressed all of the great things after the contest, talked about how much he loved those teammates on the other side of the ice, but how it was all business when he was on the ice. I thought that was really beautifully stated. So many amazing moments of that. But 4 points in the third period for a second consecutive game. That's never happened in NHL history.
Well, a few things that were interesting there. When he scores that empty netter, Ray Ferraro, who is one of the best, if not the best in the world at what he does, the analyst for ESPN and the Vancouver Canucks, he said on the air, "I can't tell you what Mikko Rantanen just said to the Colorado Avalanche, but it had something to do with, how about that, boys?" And that was number one, and that's the business on the ice. Number two, that's legend-making from Mikko Rantanen, what he did. 4 points in the game seven of the third period. That's legendary.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We move on to the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I can't help but go back a couple of days to Game 7 against the Ottawa Senators and listen to the joy from our friend Joe Bowen.
Back around into the corner it goes, and the Senators get it back to the point. Here's Sanderson at right, blocked there, and the Leafs get it out. Willie, now you got it, Willie. Now you got it. Penalty coming. Scores! Happy birthday! Happy days are here again. The sky is blue and clear again. We will drink a cup of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
You think winning in the first round in Game 7 was important to people in Toronto?
I love Joe Bowen.
He's awesome.
Joe's awesome, awesome guy. He's been doing this for 100 years. And the only time he's happier, just as happy when the Leafs win, is when his team, the team he's part owner in, the Green Bay Packers, as he likes to tell everybody, wins as well.
He was really, really excited, too, in game one of round two, which we're going to get to now. William Nylander, again, a couple of goals early, but here's a guy that's going to get a lot of attention in the summer. Matthew Nyes coming up with a gigantic play.
And across the line, a left-wing pass, in a goal! Oh, and Wall is collided with by his own defenseman, and Jake McCabe and the Leafs are going to get the puck out at center, and Nyes has a breakaway, he's in a goal!
And they beat the Stanley Cup champions in game number one. Don't think that that's not an important victory.
No, it's huge. But there's a couple things there. First of all, Matthew Nyes is going to get a lot of attention this summer. What a move that was. Looking to go, faking to go forehand, then he goes backhand high over Bobrovsky. But in that game, Anthony Stolarz got hurt. And he was ran into by Bennett in the crease. And Anthony Stolarz was vomiting on the bench. So you think concussion right away, came out. Joseph Wall came in. Florida came back with some goals, made it close. But Matthew Nyes, and then the team took over again for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But it's going to be interesting to see in game two where Anthony Stolarz is health-wise and whether Joseph Wall comes in or not.
We continue now with the Sharks playoff report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The stage is certainly set for the rest of the second round. Toronto against Florida. Maple Leafs lead 1-0 as we do this show. Washington plays Carolina. That'll be a great series. Winnipeg moves on to play Dallas. And Vegas will play the Edmonton Oilers. But I thought we'd conclude this show today, Drew, by talking about the San Jose Barracuda. They went 1-1 in the two games against the Colorado Eagles, the highly rated Colorado Eagles, I might add. And it came down to overtime.
To work it to the point, but stripped away by the Barracuda. Both teams have given up shorthanded looks on multiple occasions in this game. Gushin's over the line, got it for Kraft. Kraft back for Gushin, working in, backhand save made by Meyer. They score! It pinballed its way through the five hole. We are heading back to Colorado, tied at 1-1.
Nick Noldenberger with the call on the Sharks Audio Network. That was a tremendous victory. As it turned out, Daniil Gushin got credit for that goal because it went off the defense after he shot the puck, deflected into the net, as Nick said, right through the five hole. That is a gigantic victory. John McCarthy, after the game, says that he was really pleased with the way that things went in that contest.
Yeah, love that we stuck with it. Love we got the 2 points. Power play stepped up big there at the end.
It sure did. Power play starting into the overtime, and that, of course, carried over from the third period. McCarthy also talked about puck management of the team he felt was better in Game 2 than it was in Game 1.
Yeah, I thought we executed pretty well. I liked our start. I thought our first period was strong, and then I thought, you know, some penalties both ways, and got a little choppy in the second, and then, you know, I thought we pushed there at the end.
Jimmy Schultz, the captain of the Barracuda, gave us his impressions of the game.
I thought there was a lot of them. I just thought we played really consistently, kind of up and down the lineup. We put pucks in good spots. You know, I think we established a forecheck, and that's where our chances came. I thought our kill was really good. Obviously, Askew was awesome, so it's really good to see.
But what was going on inside that dressing room between the third period and the overtime? Obviously, the Cuda were going on the power play, and Colin Graf, who's been a big part of all the special teams, talked about what was said.
Honestly, I'd say it was pretty loose. It was pretty loose in the locker room in between. I think it was sort of just, you know, from experience, a lot of these overtime games either end really quick or they go on for a while. So I think that, you know, it was important on that power play to try to end it as quickly as possible, because if you have a good chance at the start of the period, that's usually when these overtime games end.
It was interesting that the power play hadn't been very good for the Barracuda, and the reason was because the Colorado Eagles kill very well, especially on entries into the zone, and that goal was an entry into the zone. What was amazing to me, Danny, was how loud that building got. Sold out, the fans went crazy. It was a great, great celebration, and Askarov was fantastic. Teams here now and ready to go to game 3 and 4 and 5 if necessary. So Colin Graf saying the team is loose, they are, without a doubt. It's we're looking forward to a big upset. Never happened before since the Pacific Division started in the AHL, which is the top seed team being knocked off by the lower seed.
Well, let's hope that that happens in either games 3, 4, and 5. They got to get 2 victories out of those 3 games. It's very hard to do in Colorado, but the Barracuda did win a game in Colorado during the season, so it's not like they haven't done it before.
Yeah, they're confident right now, you know, but confidence is a funny thing. You know, you sometimes give it away because the doubt creeps into your mind. But the way that this team was and the way they played those first 2 games, they definitely feel that they can hang with this Colorado Eagles team.
And so now it's on to game number 3. Games 3, 4, and 5 will take place in Colorado against the Colorado Eagles. So the Cuda are going to have to win on the road. John McCarthy talked about what the keys to winning on the road will be.
Defense. I think that's a tighter game. I think I like lower event hockey. It's kind of more of a playoff style game.
Well, that's how we look at the American Hockey League playoffs with the Barracuda against the Eagles. But what about the rest of round number 2? What do you make of Vegas versus Edmonton?
I'm looking forward to that one. Vegas is a very different team than the Los Angeles Kings. They play a much heavier game, a much harder game. We've seen what happens when Vegas and Edmonton get together. It gets nasty. And the big bodies, heaviness, meanness of the Vegas Golden Knights last time they played in the playoffs took over. And the Edmonton Oilers are going to really have to make a huge adjustment from the way that they played and had it, in my opinion, very easy against the Los Angeles Kings versus a very heavy, tough, hard game against the Vegas Golden Knights.
Meanwhile, the Washington Capitals will play the Carolina Hurricanes in round 2. Carolina came up with a very important round 1 victory, had a little bit of time off, and now they have to take on the team with the best record in the Eastern Conference. The Capitals have had a remarkable season. Spencer Carberry, finalist for the Jack Adams Award, has done a great job there. And of course, on the other side of the ice, you've got Rod Brind'Amour, that old wily veteran, will have his team ready. I think that the key to this could be 2 things, Drew. Goaltending, depending on whether Kochetkov or if Anderson can come back. But if Kochetkov's in, he's going to have to play well. And on the other side, Logan Thompson. Both those guys have been banged up too, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. And the other thing that's going to happen, I think, is home ice advantage. I think that that's in Washington's favor.
Yeah, it's going to be, to me, I don't know how to read the Carolina Hurricanes yet. I'm really looking forward to this series because I don't really know what's going to you never know what's going to happen in any series, but I don't really know how this series is going to shake up. You kind of have an idea on these other series. This one I don't, and I'm looking forward to watching it.
I think it's going to be a long series, that's for sure. And the other factor, the Carolina Hurricanes organization, looking over at what Dallas did after all of those trades with Colorado and with Stan Coven on their side, they want to make sure that the trade works out for them too. I think that's going to be an interesting little sidebar to the series. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, of course, you know, every addition you make, you want them to make an impact in the playoffs. Absolutely.
Well, impact is what has to be made in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we appreciate the fact that we've made an impact with you by sticking with us for this playoff show.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.